Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, especially now during the Christmas rush, to join me on the broadcast today. I want to share with you a horrifying experience I had just a few days ago. I am linked on Facebook with many Iranian Americans who report on what's happening with the protests, the aftermath, what's going on in Iran. And one of my Facebook friends, Danya, shared a video inside Iran of some bodies floating in a river. And what this amounted to was that these were bodies of missing protesters since the protest began in November 15th. These bodies were floating in the Quran River in Ahaz. Can't say that exactly right, but it's a city in a province of Iran. A few days after the suppression of the protests, this video showed some people pulling out of the river in Iran dead bodies of Iranian protesters. It is once again a horribly sad commentary on the absolute death culture of this government, their complete attitude toward the sacredness of life. They kill anyone and everyone who dares to disagree with them, who dares to raise their hand and say, this is wrong. In so many instances, the bodies of protesters have never been returned to the families. In some cases, they were told, you will only get your son or daughter back if you pay for the bullets that killed them. And in this case, the families are only now getting the bodies of their families back via the river because they were thrown in the river. It's horrible and unthinkable, and this government must be held accountable for its absolute disregard for human rights and human life. At least 1,500 protesters, including several children, have been murdered by this regime since November 15th. 4,000 of them injured and another 12,000 arrested. Many wounded people were taken from the hospitals by Iranian security forces and intelligence officers. In their sickness, clinging to life, they were removed from the hospital. There are several reports of protesters being tortured in the cities of Shiraz, Tehran, and Karaj. Just give you an example. Hamad Shekhani, he's 35 years old. He was arrested on November 17th in Khuzestan. His family heard no news until November 23rd, and then they were asked to collect his body from prison. 30-year-old Kaveh Visiani was arrested November 17th. His dead body, which showed signs of torture, was found in the city suburbs on December 15th, just a few days ago. He had a young son, and his present wife was pregnant. 17-year-old Arvin Ramin, arrested by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Maryvonne. He was tortured to death. His family had to pay to have his body returned. Halimeh Samiri was arrested during the protests in Abadan. She was tortured to death, and last of all, her body was thrown outside of her father's residence. And these are the stories, the horror stories of what has been going on since November 15th in Iran. These are the stories I write about in my books. I will be writing the stories of the protests in our current book, Shout Freedom. It is heartbreaking. It makes one angry. It makes one even more determined to continue to speak out, to continue to pray, to continue to do everything I can to tell the world about what's happening in Iran. I will keep you updated as information comes my way on what's happening. The protesters that have been arrested are in danger of being executed. And they are singling out the leaders of the protests are the ones that are going to be executed. But nonetheless, we are looking at a kind of a genocide going on here, with the way life is being treated in Iran, just simply because you don't have the freedom to think, to believe, to protest, to do anything. I want to turn my attention now to the Christians in Iran. We are just officially 6 days away from Christmas Day, and it's always around this time in Iran when security forces begin rounding up Christians. They did this last year in 2018. They arrested over 100 or more Christians. And I want to spend some time explaining what's going on here. There is a lady who used to live in Iran. Her name is Debrina Tamraz. And she suffered persecution as an evangelical Christian. And she says Christmas celebrations make it easier for Iranian authorities to arrest a group of Christians at one time. Now, Debrina escaped from Iran now 9 years ago, and she now lives somewhere in Europe. And she shares a little bit of her story about what it's like for a Christian in Iran, someone who has converted to Christianity. This happened back in 2014, and she was having a family gathering. She says, "My brother opened the door of our home, only if he'd be confronted with about 30 plainclothes officers who pushed their way in. They separated men from women and conducted strip body searches. Three people, including my father, were arrested and charged with acting against national security and conducting evangelism. Her father, by the way, is an evangelical pastor. So here's an example. It's one example of how the Iranian regime is so intolerant towards religious minorities. This would include the Baha'is as well, who are frequently subject to harassment, detention, and even execution, despite being recognized as protected religious minorities that are free to perform their rights, quote, within the limits of the law. That's in their constitution, but they still harass Christians all the time. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this past July that the regime's crackdown on Baha'is, Christians, and others continues to shock the conscience. Now, the Iranian government considers evangelism, the sharing of one's Christian faith, a criminal act. Christmas in Iran is illegal. It's a crime. Christians cannot sing or pray in public in Iran because those acts are considered illegal. And that's according to Nina Shea, an expert in religious freedom at the Hunston Institute. Now, the regime wants to intimidate Christians not to celebrate their religion, act on their religion, or have any outward signs of it, like wearing a cross. Marina Namat, who was an Iranian Catholic, was arrested and detained for being politically active following the 1979 revolution. And she says, as a person who used to live in Iran years ago, that Iran was allergic to people converting and people evangelizing. If you are a Christian in Iran and do not evangelize, Marina said, and do not advertise your religion, well, you will not go to jail. But, she says, Christians that do go to jail in Iran are converts for evangelizing. They are both converts and they evangelize. Historically, Christians, of course, are known to evangelize. This is what makes them a threat, Marina said in an interview. This is what goes on for Christians in Iran. This is the way they are treated. And I want to bring their cases to your attention because it's so vital for you to pray for them, to be a voice for them. The Iranian regime has long persecuted Christians, Baha'is, other religious minorities. Just last year, I mentioned that over 100 or 150 Christians, it was a record number, were arrested in Iran around this time. And Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, says that this is alarming and unacceptable. He went on to say the U.S. must continue to raise the cases of individual political prisoners and pressure the Iranian regime to end its gross human rights and religious freedom violations. Senator Ted Cruz, at this time last year, said the Ayatollahs persecute Christians and anyone else who refuses to accept their theocratic vision because they fear freedom of conscience. Iran's repeated and worsening persecution of Christians is unacceptable and must stop, Senator Cruz said. It is imperative that we support religious liberty around the world and work to end the persecution of Christians and people of all faiths. Did you know the fastest growing underground church in the world is in Iran? These young converts are so filled with joy and energy that they have found a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, that they cannot help but to evangelize, and thus they are arrested. You see, the Iranian Christians have no problem getting up, if you will, on Sunday morning for church. They meet secretly, and yet they are zealous. They are on fire for Jesus, as we say. I want you to hear right now a brief testimony of one Iranian Christian who has spent three Christmases in prison in Iran.
For 3 years, I was in prison because of my faith. I had three experiences of Christmas in prison. There was a big contract between my heart and between the situation outside of me. My heart was really full of Jesus' passion and joy of Christmas. Jesus came to our world. But outside of me was persecution, pressure and suffering of prison, and also being separated from my family. Accept these two together is really difficult. Being sad or being happy. However, our limited outward celebration does not affect our inner experience of Christmas. In fact, in the face of persecution, in our heart, there is a deep inner passion, joy, and celebrating of Jesus himself that the government is never, ever able to quench, because Jesus is alive.
What a wonderful attitude this Iranian Christian has. He had a choice between being sad or happy. Happy because he had the joy of Jesus in his heart, but sad because he was separated from his family in prison for three Christmases. And he says, there is something this government can never take away from me, and that is the passion and the joy in my heart I have for Jesus. It's an amazing, amazing testimony of this Iranian Christian. I want you to hear a short special report on the treatment of the government to religious minorities, to anyone that disagrees with them. Is There Hope for Iranian Christians is the name of this report. I want you to listen to it. It's having a problem with getting this thing to work. There it goes.
The country is run by Islamic, politics. The governments have been very rigid and very harsh in this after the 79 revolution, trying really to establish the value of Islam inside the country, because people have seen the harshness of religious government inside the country. They have lost their trust and in Islam and in government, and many of them are just openly saying, we don't want Islam, we don't want, Arabic leader, kind of leadership never matches Iranian history, Iranian culture, we don't want it. So people are frustrated by religion and by religious leader, and they are exhausted. Praise God that people are searching for any other way and solution, and that has caused people, many, many of them, give their heart to the Lord. We don't know the exact statistic, and people say hundreds of thousands, and some, news agents are saying to us more than millions. Oh my goodness, Christians were slaughtered there, and almost all Protestant churches are closed down by government. Government forced them to close their churches, and many pastors were killed. Even one church has given so far 11, martyrs, and many Christians are in prison because they do not know. Leaders in Iran, they think that Islam is the only perfect and last religion. They do not know their religion in the context of the world. In other words, like us Christians, to compare our belief with Hinduism, with Islam, with Buddhism, with atheism, with New Age, whatever, because we want everything to be clear for us. But that's not the mindset in Islam. In Islam, you were born inside the frame of Islam. You have to live inside the frame of Islam. You have to continue life inside the frame of Islam. And any member of your family gets out of that frame is enemy to Islam, enemy to Islamic world, and is in war with us. We have to kill that person. Every day they're carrying death sentence with themselves. you know, Christians are forbidden. Christian evangelism is forbidden in Islamic countries. You know, you and I cannot go there to evangelize about Christ, but they cannot stop Christ. Christ penetrates everywhere. He's the wonderful evangelist, and he's a powerful evangelist. So we need to ask him prayer from him. Go, Lord, break the wall. Go and touch the heart through dreams, through visions, through personal touch. You know, that's one thing. That's the less costly thing for us to do, you know, in England and in all over the world. And the second thing is really we need to make our voices stronger. It's amazing that 75% of persecution now is about Christianity. And also we need to touch our pockets, because these people have lost a lot of things. People who leave their families, you know, they leave their religion, they lose everything. So we need to stand behind these brothers and sisters as much as we can, because that's the greatest investment we can do for our beloved Jesus.
This is the cost of following Jesus, especially if you live in Iran. I appreciate that personal report of how we can support Christians in Iran through prayer, through speaking out, and through giving as well. Alam Ministries in Georgia here is a local office. Alam Ministries trains pastors. They bring Bibles inside of Iran. They do a lot of incredible work among the Iranian people. If we want to invest in helping Iranians, Elam Ministries is a great resource for doing that. More than 2,000 years ago, the Messiah was born. Jesus came into a world hostile to truth. Jesus came into a world of oppression, suffering, and violence, much like the world we live in today. The birth of Jesus brings light into darkness, hope into despair, forgiveness into ugliness. I want us to think about that as we hear Chris Tomlin in this beautiful anthem at Christmas time, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Christ, the door. Christ, the air.
the wonderful, exhilarating good news of a Savior born on Christmas Day. And that baby in the manger was God manifested in the flesh. God stepped down off of his throne in heaven and became a man. He became a servant in Jesus Christ because we could never fix the problem we were in. Our rebellion and sin was something that he alone would take care of. Through all of our religious rituals, thoughts, and practices, we could never, in infinite time, ever satisfy or appease a holy God. It's not by our works. It's not by our rituals. It's by his grace that we're saved. And Jesus came into a hostile world to become our sinless Savior and sacrifice. He was born a baby, but grew to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As I think about this past year, and especially this past November, of the infinite suffering that my Iranian friends have endured, all for freedom, it is heartbreaking. In all of my hard work, writing books and speaking out, I feel in some way very frustrated that I can't do more. But then I'm reminded right now, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, that there is one who can solve it all, and his name is Jesus. He has been born into the hearts of millions of Iranians who through faith have stood up to this hostile regime and said, you can never take away Jesus in our hearts. They have revolutionized this country in a very incredible way. And the hope of Iran is the hope they have found in Jesus Christ. So I am encouraged that though this Christmas many Iranians will be arrested, I am encouraged they will take with them in their imprisonment the hope of Jesus Christ. And that hope will break down every hostile barrier in Iran, will break down every physical barrier in Iran. That hope in Jesus will completely change this country from darkness and despair to the kingdom of God. And so there is hope for Iran. There is hope for Iranians, and it is found in Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the hope for every person in Iran. He is the hope that saves the world. So this Christmas, as you're celebrating, as you're unwrapping gifts, I want you to remember the Iranian Christians, your brothers and your sisters that have gone to prison, and that in that darkness of prison, they are going to light a torch of freedom in the name of Jesus. And many, many guards, many of hostile people will be saved because they are not afraid to proclaim the hope that saves the world, Jesus Christ, in their imprisonment. My thoughts, my prayers are for the wounded, hurting families in Iran. God bless you. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend.